How do you do? Never doubt that we are at war, constantly fighting a spiritual battle against unseen forces of darkness determined to bring us down. Their main weapon is deception. Those who choose to fight become targets, as the man in this story discovered, but he's willing to stay the course because his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Hello?
Sharon. Sharon, I've been trying to reach you. I had to take Danny to the emergency room.
Well, what's wrong with him?
Well, when I picked him up at daycare, he was screaming. His eyes were black and his head was swollen. They said he fell out of a swing.
At 8 months old? What about Eric?
He's here with me at the hospital. Can you change your flights and come home right away?
Denver is socked in with a snowstorm, honey. Flights are grounded.
Oh, Sharon. The x-rays show he has multiple skull fractures.
Oh, my poor little boy.
That's not all. Both his shoulders are broken.
Oh.
He's in critical condition.
I'm trapped here, Louis.
The doctor said if he makes it through the night, he'll be mentally handicapped for life.
Proclaiming the good news through true life stories of real people, this is Unshackled, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Beyond reach, that's how some feel about the homeless, and how some homeless feel about themselves. They don't know the truth, but when they come to Pacific Garden Mission, they hear the truth from pastors and counselors. The truth is, there is a way that leads to new life. Thanks to friends who know the truth and care enough to send financial gifts to keep the doors open day and night, the mission shelters hundreds of men, women, and children each day. They receive food, fresh clothing, and a safe place to sleep, even medical and dental care in the mission clinic. But above all, they receive the truth that changes their lives. Now, for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3035 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
How is he, Doctor?
On further examination, Mr. Holguin, we believe you're the one who injured the child you brought in.
What? How could I do such a thing to my own son?
Isn't this your other son sitting here?
Yes.
All right, he can't stay with you, pending further examination.
Now, wait a minute. I told you I was at work all day.
We'll let the police determine that. Is there a family member you can call to come and get this boy? Otherwise, the police are going to take him.
This was not the first time the man in our story had been confronted with angry accusations, nor would it be the last. This is the story of why he came under attack and how he had the strength to endure. It's the true story of Louis Holguin, right now on Unshackled.
I was the oldest son, and being Hispanic, my family was very religious. But I didn't see God in what they taught and practiced, so I turned away from religion. When I was in fifth grade, I was expelled from school. At home, I had to face my father.
What's this about you being expelled from school, Luis?
It's the teacher's fault. She hates me.
Why?
Well, she hit me across the hand with a ruler every time she thinks I did something wrong.
Well, what happened today?
She got right in my face and she told me I was stupid. Said I'd never amount to anything.
Mm-hmm. And what did you do?
I punched her in the face.
You don't punch a teacher, understand?
I couldn't help it, Dad.
No son of mine is going to punch a teacher. Now you get ready for a whipping, boy.
In the early 50s, gang activity was flourishing. I was in junior high at the time and was fearful of them. You were either a member or an enemy. So I joined the Old Town gang. One night, my friend and I raided a farmer's melon patch.
Man, look at all these watermelons.
Yeah, let's eat one, and then we'll take some home with us.
Luis, listen.
I think someone's coming. Let's get out of here.
You're leaving me. Luis!
Come on, man. He's got a gun. My friend was hit by the shotgun blast. but it was rock salt, so he wasn't harmed. We never went back again. But we continued to fight against the rival gangs, even though I was afraid. One night on our way to a rumble, I grabbed a trash can and pulled it over my head. I couldn't see who I was hitting with my length of chain, but they were falling or running away. After that, my friends revered me as a leader. We moved and the gang rivalry was over. In high school, I excelled in music and football. My anger was unleashed during the games. As a lineman, I wanted to kill my opponents. The push was on for Vietnam, and my friend and I made plans.
You lettered again this year, man. The college scouts are going to be standing in line to get you.
I'm not sure I want to go to college.
I'm going to join the Air Force so I can fight in Vietnam.
Really?
Yeah. I want to serve my country.
Hey, maybe we could join together under the buddy system.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Before graduation, my friend was killed in a car accident. I was devastated. I wanted to live out his desire, so I enlisted in the Air Force after graduation and trained as a medic. I served in Vietnam, and the horrific events are more than I can ever say. By 1968, I was back at Alamogordo, New Mexico, working at a hospital on base. My attitude was belligerent and overbearing. Here's your central supplies, Lieutenant Jester.
I am not Lieutenant Jester, Airman. I am Lieutenant Fenn, and you will address me as Lieutenant Fenn. Is that clear?
Fine, Lieutenant Fenn. There's your supplies. I was always confrontational and spoke before thinking, but this nurse was the most beautiful woman I had ever seen. I would have to change if I hoped to get her attention. I walked away from her that day, guilty of insubordination if she had reported me. But she didn't. I couldn't get her out of my mind and finally summoned the courage to ask her for a date. She refused. Over and over I asked, and she kept refusing. Come on, Blue Eyes. Why don't you go out with me sometime?
All right. I'll pick you up tomorrow night at 6, Louie.
You mean it?
Yes, as long as I drive and we go where I want.
Whatever you say, Sharon. Hey, this is one cool car. Everyone on base knows about it.
And you are one persistent man, Louie. Do you always get your way?
I stand up for what I think is right. Doctors, nurses, they all know me.
There's an unwritten law against officers dating enlisted personnel, so we have to be careful.
Don't worry. I keep to myself.
Been to Nam?
Yeah. I don't want to talk about it.
I understand.
Let's talk about you.
I'm from New England, Vermont, but I went through nurses training in New Hampshire. I love my work. Do you?
Yeah, it's all right. I don't want to be a medic for the rest of my life, though.
What do you want to do, Louie?
Be a musician. I played guitar, drums, and bass guitar in bands around Albuquerque. Hey, I know a good place in Alamogordo we can hit tonight.
I know a good place, too. Here it is.
A church? Are you serious?
You wanted to go on a date with me? Come on, we're here.
I went because I wanted to be with Sharon, and I listened when the pastor preached from the Bible. Every time I asked her out, we went to church. Finally, I pretended to be convinced by the teachings because I was in love with her. One time, her pastor took me to hear a famous evangelist. At the invitation, I asked the pastor to go with me down the aisle because I felt God calling me to preach. I didn't even know the Lord yet, but I sure wanted to fight the devil.
The devil's our enemy, that's for sure.
I've seen a lot of wickedness. Some of it was in the war and then the damage that drunkenness causes. One night I drank too much and I was driving home in my car. I saw a red light and I knew I had to stop, but by the time I actually stopped, I had gone 6 more blocks. That's when I quit drinking.
So you went forward at the revival.
Yeah. I wanted to understand more about God as a child, but I felt that it was hypocrisy. So I turned from God.
I'm glad you're willing to go to church with me, Louie.
I'd go anywhere with you, Sharon. Hey, Let's get married.
You know that your family doesn't approve of me.
They will when they get to know you.
I'm not so sure. Your father seems pretty set against me.
Oh, he'll see the truth about you and then he'll change. Come on, let's get married.
I only have 2 weeks to go till I'm out of the Air Force. Then we can get married openly.
Do you really want a big wedding?
Well, I guess not.
I have some friends who live south of the border. Let's go there.
You mean elope?
Why not? Your family's on the East Coast and can't come, and mine won't.
That would be different. Adventurous.
Come on, let's go. We drove to Mexico and were married. And I felt like I owned the world. But as time passed, something was missing. I had a hole in my heart that nothing could fill. One night, we went to a revival and the evangelist spoke about hell. When the preacher invited people to go forward and accept Christ, my heart ached, but I resisted. All the way home, the words burned in my heart as I longed to be saved. All during dinner and afterward, as I lay in the bed, I was lost. And now, I had to admit it. Sharon!
What? What's wrong, Louis?
Honey, I've been lying.
What?
I'm not saved. And I know that I'm going to hell. I can't go on this way.
Well, get down on your knees, honey. Repent before God and ask Him to save you. Tell God what you just told me.
Sharon never judged me. She knelt with me that night while I asked Jesus to save me. He filled the hole in my heart, and I was so excited I called the pastor, woke him up. The following summer, our first son was born, and we drove back to Albuquerque to see my family.
He's a strong-looking boy, Luis. Be sure you raise him right, huh?
Oh, we intend to, Dad. I'm born again now.
Huh?
I want to do what Jesus wants me to do.
What do you mean, born again?
Well, I repented of my sins, and I asked Jesus to forgive my sins. I gave my life to Him, and He's called me to preach the Word.
No way, Luis.
Dad, I can't go back. Jesus died for me.
As far as I'm concerned, my son is dead to me. Get out of my house!
I see where you got your temper, Louis.
Yeah.
What a shock.
I'll never forget the look on his face.
We'll keep praying for them.
He doesn't understand it all yet.
No.
But to disown your own son.
Oh, remember what Jesus said. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you.
Oh, God. If it takes losing my family, I'll serve you. In 1970, I left the Air Force and we moved to Albuquerque, where we both worked at a large hospital. 2 years later, our second son, Danny, was born. Our shifts presented a need for childcare, so we placed our sons in a daycare. The day I picked up the boys and Danny was hurt, I rushed him to the hospital where we worked. Sharon was in Denver at a nursing seminar. While I was praying for God to heal our son, they told me I was a suspect.
Very shortly, we'll hear more about Lewis's predicament. We receive many letters and email from listeners asking for prayer, like this man who writes, "I identified with the testimony that aired today. I prayed to receive Christ. Please pray for me. The normal pressures of life reveal what kind of man I really am inside." Or this one, "Pray for me. I have turned from my homosexual sin and need God's help to overcome very wicked thoughts." We pray for every request, so let us know if you need prayer. We also have a prayer team spread across the country, but united in faith that God answers prayer. They join us in praying for these petitions, and you can be part of our prayer team. Simply write and tell us whether you'd like to receive petitions once or twice a month. What a great ministry, one you can do in your own home, yet it means so much to others and to God. write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Please include your address.
The police checked my job and no charges were brought against me. I went home alone that night, still praying for God's mercy. Oh God, please help my son. Touch his body and heal him, Father. It breaks my heart to see him like that, Lord. I leave him in your hands. The next morning when I arrived, the swelling had subsided and Danny was healing. When Sharon returned that afternoon, I had good news for her.
I'm so glad he's doing better.
I prayed so much last night.
Me too.
The police are investigating the daycare. It's apparent that Danny and Eric were beaten.
They should lose their license.
Our son recovered. 4 years later, we sold our home in Albuquerque and moved to Chattanooga, where I spent 4 years at a Bible college. Sharon worked full-time at the local hospital. I was a full-time student, but I worked all kinds of jobs to help us financially. I also served as pastor of a small church in Alabama, 50 miles away. Jimmy wants me to go with him tomorrow to visit a moonshiner up in the hills.
You be careful, Louie. I've heard those mountain men don't trust anybody.
Jimmy's a good friend of this one. It's Dora's husband.
Dora? That comes to our church?
Yeah.
I didn't realize there were still moonshiners out there.
Doesn't surprise me. Anyway, I couldn't say no.
No.
Dora's been praying for her husband to be saved, and now Jimmy wants me to share the gospel with him, too.
Now, you be careful.
Look here, Pastor. I didn't want to say this before, but Willie, the man we're going to go see, he's a Klansman.
The Ku Klux Klan?
Yes, sir, he is, but he surely doesn't need Jesus badly.
We all do, Jimmy. Fear engulfed me as we arrived at the shack in the mountains. I was Hispanic and he was a Klansman. The shack was meager. His wife, Doris, led us into the one-room shack. It was dark inside, no light, just a bed and some buckets for washing up. A man hiding in the shadows suddenly pushed me aside and ran out the back door.
Jimmy, why'd you bring this here revenuer up to my house?
Now, hang on just a second there, Willie. Here's the preacher I've been telling you about.
I ain't no preacher, a lord on my property. You take one more step, I'm going to kill you, mister.
Whoa. Wait a second here, Willie. I'm a preacher. I just came by to introduce myself and tell you about Jesus.
No. You take one more step, preacher. I'm going to kill you.
Okay, Willie. I'm leaving right now. Willie never came to church, but his wife kept coming. And 6 months later, she asked us to pray for him because he was sick. I drove 50 miles one way to see him in the hospital. He was stunned. Willie, I came to tell you that Jesus loves you.
What?
The Bible tells us how much he loves you. You see, Willie, the Bible says there is none righteous. No, not one. I'm no better than you. I'm a sinner saved by God's wonderful grace. He knew there was no way that any man could make himself good enough for heaven because God is perfect, holy, and we are all sinners. The penalty for our sin is death, eternal damnation in hell. So, God sent his only son, Jesus, who paid the penalty for us. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Whosoever means you, Willie. And me. Heaven is a free gift paid for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. All you have to do is repent of your sins and reach out and accept God's gift. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Do you understand all this?
Yes, sir, preacher. I sure do.
Would you like to pray now to receive Christ?
Yes, sir. I sure would.
Willie prayed to receive Christ that rainy afternoon, and 5 days later, he died. After I graduated in 1980, we moved back to Albuquerque, where Sharon worked part-time as a nurse while I began to candidate for churches. One day I picked her up after work on our motorcycle. The station wagon crossing a busy intersection stopped right in our lane, and I couldn't stop. We crashed right into it. Sharon. Oh, Lord. Sharon. I'm here, honey. Can you hear me? Oh, please, God, please, not my wife. Please help her, Lord. I started CPR on her, but I knew she had broken ribs because I felt no structure in her chest. She was also bleeding badly from abrasions over 60% of her body.
Oh, what happened? What happened?
We had a motorcycle accident.
Where am I?
In Albuquerque.
What am I doing in Albuquerque? I live in Tennessee.
Sharon was taken to the same hospital where Danny had been years earlier. I stayed most of the night and then went home. I soon learned that I had suffered a concussion and was placed in the same hospital as Sharon. Hi, honey. How are you doing?
Better. How about you?
They said I had a concussion and I didn't know who I was.
How long have we been here?
3 days. I started to vomit uncontrollably.
Oh.
Couldn't stand any light, and my vision was blurred.
How did you get here?
Dad brought me.
God spared our lives. He'll help us.
We recovered, and soon after that, I took a church in Las Vegas, New Mexico. At the time, Las Vegas was a small town of 12,000 people. We bought a mobile home and we moved into the mountains above town. The church met in an old rented building that had many problems. So did some of the people.
Oh, how was your day, honey?
Well, interesting. A couple of men from the church came in today and said they didn't like my preaching about the rapture.
Oh?
They don't think Jesus can return at any time. They think they know the exact date. October 12th, 1982.
Next year?
Yep. They stocked up on food and everything.
What did you tell them?
I showed them what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only.
Did that satisfy them?
No. They told me to get on board or they would leave the church.
Oh, no.
I told them I would preach God's word to the letter. So they walked out.
There may not be many people at church on Sunday.
Sure enough, others followed them. So I preached to my wife and sons week after week. We knocked on doors throughout town and doors were slammed in our faces. Finally, we began transporting children, and in time we had a church full of children. Slowly, the congregation grew, and we built a new building ourselves. Our sons graduated and went to college. They married and gave us grandchildren. In 1998, our family faced a new crisis when Danny became ill. Hello?
Honey, the doctors have found two large tumors in Danny's chest.
Oh. Besides the one they found in his shoulder?
Yes. Oh. Hodgkin's can show up in any of the lymph glands. The ones in his chest are between his heart and his lungs.
No.
He'll have to have chemotherapy and radiation.
Sharon, God brought our son through the dark time when he was a baby, and we must trust him now.
Yes, I believe that. But Danny's in for a rough time.
I know. Let's pray for him right now.
All right.
Father, thank you for saving our son. Lord, the enemy of our soul wants to discourage us. But Danny belongs to you, and you can heal him any way that you choose. Loving Father, comfort Danny with your word, and fill his heart and mind with your promises. Give the doctors wisdom, and give Danny strength. Danny's cancer was in stage 3. A day or so later, Sharon called to say that he was in the emergency room again, with 8 times the normal amount of pericardial fluid around his heart. We rushed him to Santa Fe for a procedure to drain the fluid and prayed, asking God for strength to face the future. Once again, God answered, and Danny survived. He moved back in with us so Sharon could take care of him. In time, Danny was cancer-free and returned to the job market. Both our sons moved to Nashville and worked together for a time. In 2005, Eric became very ill and was on oxygen in the hospital. All we could do was pray because we couldn't afford to fly back. Then a friend heard about our dilemma and paid our way to Nashville.
Thank God. He's going to make it, Louis.
I'm glad that we can be here.
I may be a nurse, but it's still hard to see our son with a tube in his chest.
Bacterial pneumonia and severe asthma.
Yeah.
It seems to be related to the work he's been doing on that old building.
We've been through a lot of testing over the years, honey. One crisis after another.
And the Lord has delivered us out of them all.
The doctor thinks Eric will need a ventilator to breathe now because his lung collapsed.
We'll take it to the Lord. He's the real physician. Eric, too, recovered, and both our sons are following God's path. Sharon and I are still in Las Vegas, where I will pastor the church until I die or Christ returns. Remember, God loves you. Jesus died for you. The Bible says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much."
Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That name is Jesus Christ, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Listening friend, Jesus died to save you and rose again. He wants to give you new life. You can pray anytime, anywhere, repenting of your sins and asking him to save you. God looks on the heart. If you need help in making this crucial decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, unshackled.org. This is program number 3035. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Hearing from you brightens our day, so please write soon. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Troubled? You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.